Okay, good evening, YouTube. Get off your phone.
I'm just doing
What's going on? Get off your phone. I'm starting this live stream.
I just said I'm doing an Instagram post.
Oh, you're doing Instagram. Right, hold on. We'll all stop what we're doing while you do an Instagram post. Go on. Is it done? And it's done. Excellent. Good.
Hi,
all right.
Everybody. Welcome good to the evening, family
everybody. Welcome to For Your Family. Is your voice back? That's what most people want to know. How is the voice? Because the Twitter post the other day, you were a little bit croaky, to say the least. A little bit croaky. How are you feeling?
Yeah. I mean,
it's not 100%, is it?
Still not 100%.
2 days after Fest, fully 48 hours. It's not quite right.
Look, I mean, when you speak for literally... I don't think I've spoken 3 years as much as I spoke at Fest on Friday night.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe it's permanently damaged. I don't know. It's not quite right, is it? I can still hear a little frog in your throat.
Do you remember when I went to the Football Content Awards back in October? The same thing happened.
Yes, I do.
To the event. First time I've been to an event in forever.
Yeah.
Lost my voice. Took 3 days to come back.
Always happens.
Always happens with me. Apparently, I talk a lot.
Apparently? Who knew?
Who knew? I mean, my dad was really surprised to hear that I talk a lot and I've lost my voice. I am just really grateful to Gianni and Ed that they didn't put Fest on next Friday, because this time next week, well, a few hours ago, I have to give a reading at my brother's wedding.
That's right. Your brother's getting married this time next week. So no FPL family next week? Or are we doing it on Monday or something?
Well,
or?
Sadly, we can't go Sunday. So maybe a Monday.
Amazing.
It's bank holiday, so actually you won't have football Monday night.
Could be Monday next week, yes.
Now watch along. Is there a game on Monday night?
I haven't thought that far ahead, Sam. To be honest with you,
there will be something, of course, because we are getting into the real crux of the season, and we can't.
It's the business
really,
end. It's the business
yeah,
end.
Yeah, I mean, we can't really just, you know, yeah, it's Man United versus Brentford. We could do some sort of FPL family live stream watch along type.
Yeah. Especially the way Brentford are playing and the way Manchester United are playing.
Yeah.
Fancy a bit of an Ivan Toney and Christian Eriksen. Bit of a, maybe a Hattie now, I don't know, because Man
United.
See
what the guys think. Ooh. If the guys would like us to do some sort of Monday night.
Let us know.
Monday night, we will, but we won't be here next Sunday because we'll be dancing the night away.
That's it.
My brother's wedding.
And as usual, Sam, we come to you live on a Sunday night mid-game week, as we often do now on FPL Family.
So far away.
I don't know. Get your tea. Go on, get your tea a bit closer. That's it.
Oh, my
That's
God.
It.
What if I spill this?
Well, this is looking a bit dodgy, to say the least.
We've got the world's heaviest coffee tables.
Yeah. Is that your leg's going to knock it, though, isn't it?
No.
You're
no,
okay?
No.
Okay, you're good. Right.
No,
okay,
I'm
good.
A lady. I sit with my legs crossed.
Good. Okay, good. So we're midway through game week 34, Sam. We've still got a game to go tomorrow. Palace are playing Leeds, of course.
I've got that one.
Who have you got in that game? Mateta. Okay, nice differential for that game. Sounds good.
So I've got to play, though, because then Tarko, come on.
You got Tarkovsky first sub waiting in the wings, have you?
With
waiting
seven.
For him to come on. With seven. Got a bonus point, didn't Tarkovsky? Yeah. So not only have we got that game, but of course, we've got Chelsea versus Manchester United on Thursday.
Yeah.
Next Thursday to come as well. So all of you that got Reece James this week, whether you free hit him in, whether you transferred him in, I was going to say don't worry, because presumably he's going to play on Thursday. But do we know? Is he injured?
No,
what's going on here?
Injury in training.
Yes. Okay. So we're actually not sure,
for the
right?
Heads up, Tuchel.
Yeah. So if he doesn't play, presumably then you get Tarkovsky anyway. So happy days.
Yes.
Mm. Okay. Very good.
I mean, what's going to happen inevitably is that they're both going to play.
Undoubtedly. Yeah, undoubtedly. But neither of them, I suspect, is going to do as well as this man here.
Yeah,
Gabriel Jesus. You've done all right.
I'm not a man.
No, but Gabriel Jesus, 4 goals and an assist yesterday, which I think amounted to about 124 BPS. Unbelievable. If you had Jesus on the free hit, and by the way, even if I had free hit this week, I don't think I'd have had Jesus.
Do you remember
standing
in Fest on Friday night?
Probably not, but no, go on.
And a lovely guy called Joe come bounding over to
yes,
us.
Yes, I do remember speaking to Joe. Yes, I do.
And he went, Sam, Lee.
Yeah.
Where did you say he was? Somewhere high up, 11K or something.
Doing well. Yeah.
Wanted to win his mini league. The guy that was with him at Fest was at something like 8K, and he was like, "I need to beat him. I need a differential. I think I might go Gabriel Jesus. What do you think?" And we were like, "Well, a bit rogue, but who are you going to sell?" And he was like, "Lacazette." And we both went,
"Do it for Lacazette." Yeah,
Joe, if you're watching, I
hope you did it.
Really,
mate.
Hope that you did it.
Yeah,
because if you did, I bet you're in the top of your mini league now.
Well, he's going to be in the upper echelons if he did, because Gabriel Jesus, I can't even, 124 BPS, I don't know how many points you get for 4 goals and assists, but plenty, right? Plenty. But I have to say, going into the game week, not highly picked Gabriel Jesus, right? Even by the free hitters, a lot of the free hit rhetoric was, well, we're going two at the back City. We're going, you know, maybe with a De Bruyne or a Foden or a Sterling. Absolutely, Sterling was highly owned. And I saw a lot of free hit drafts out there that had Cancelo, maybe Laporte, and Sterling as the three.
Like Marks at Fest, right?
And it was, that's a difficult shout, right? Because what those guys have done is they've called the right result. They've called a big City win. But they were obviously hoping for the clean sheet, and Watford managed to nick a goal, right? So difficult. Would we say that the general free hit template for game week 34, and I appreciate that we've got Manchester United and Chelsea still to go, but would we say that it's a success? I would suggest perhaps not, because a lot of those free hitters would have taken out the likes of Saka, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, there were a lot of people that, you know, take Az as a prime example of that, right? Az has been having an absolutely phenomenal season, but it's the risk with the free hit is the part of the thing that I don't especially love about the free hit chip is that you can't help but look at what you would have got. It's like that, here's what you could have won moment. And you kind of go, well, this was my free hit team and it's got this many points. But then if you're Az, and many FPL managers that are free-hitted this week are in a similar position, you look at your actual FPL team, like for Az, it's got Bruno Guimaraes in it, it's got Saka in it, it's got all the players that actually did quite well. But then the ones that he's taken in on free-hit are the ones you're expecting to do well. You know, the likes of Werner for Chelsea, maybe Havertz and Mount at Chelsea.
Who still could do well, right? They've got the other game to go.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But Manchester City assets, generally speaking, it wasn't Jesus. It was, like you say, it was the defenders, maybe Foden or KDB or Sterling. None of which have really set the world on fire. So it's been a tough week, I think, if you free-hitted this week. It's been a difficult one because I think actually it's been a predictable game week in some ways because some of the results have been predictable.
The results largely went as you'd expect, yes.
But the people that have scored the goals and got the points haven't necessarily been the ones that you would have anticipated.
Yeah, a lot of the free hitters expecting. And by the way, I thought Sterling had a really good game for City. Yeah. Really good. And a lot of the time I was looking at his work rate in particular, thinking, here's a guy that's really put a shift in. Yeah. And because of that, it was Jesus that benefited, not him directly. So if you're a free hit and you went Sterling, because a lot did because of the rest that he got in the previous game, it's just super unlucky. Super, super unlucky. Let's get into the chat, Sam, and say hello to a few people. Before we do, just a shout out to the people that we met on Friday night. We've already alluded to it once already. Fantasy Football Fest was epic. Again, it was epic. That is a brilliant picture. That,
we were going
home.
I'm wearing my coat.
I've got my coat on as well. That was like proper last minute. We're going. And we just didn't, did we? Because there's people that wanted pictures and stuff. It was absolutely epic. There's Andrew Yee, who I know joins these live streams. There's Delia, who bought us some biscuits. And we spent a bit of time with her as well. It was, guys, it was honestly brilliant. So if we met you, and we spent loads of time with Duncan
Jaffa
and
cakes.
Andrew.
Thank you to
there's
Duncan.
Duncan who bought the Jaffa Cakes, which is absolutely epic, by the way.
We ate 30 Jaffa Cakes doing a quiz.
They fueled us during the quiz. The quiz team, which, by the way, it wasn't just me, you and Duncan, was it? There was quite a few. It was probably about 10 or 12
was
that, in the
it was,
team.
It was all the patrons that were there. Yeah. You, me, Duncan, Andrew, Jeffrey, all the way from America. Bless his heart.
I think that deserves its own little shout out, by the way. It was wonderful to meet everybody. Jeffrey is one of our Patreon supporters. FPL Steps,
one
if you find him on Twitter. He's been a former manager of the month. We've sent him shirts and all that sort of stuff. He's won our mini leagues. Brilliant. He came all the way from New Jersey, not just for Fest, admittedly. He was here to watch a couple of Liverpool games. He'd been already to Liverpool to watch the Manchester United game. He then joined us at Fest. Gianni had him up on the microphone talking about his journey and the fact that not a lot of people over in New Jersey really follow the Premier League, let alone FPL. So he feels like the FPL community is a bit of a family for him and stuff. And honestly, it was wicked. It was a wicked, wicked moment when Jeffrey got on the mic and spoke about his story. And to top it all off, I think he was ending his trip by going to Anfield today.
He's going home tomorrow.
To watch the Merseyside Derby and then going home tomorrow. So Jeffrey, honestly, wicked to meet you. It was so, so good. And it was just a wonderful, wonderful event, wasn't it?
It was. Honestly, Fest, I mean, I loved Fest back in pre-season. On the opening day of the season, going to Fest was fantastic. There were a few moments in that one were a little bit stressful because it was on deadline day of game week one and you were a little bit like, oh, it's my FPL team. And of course, there was a game that didn't go as we were expecting with Brentford and Arsenal. But this one, being on a random Friday night with no deadlines, no games, it was so lovely.
There's Raptor and Mark with you three on stage. That went really well as well. That was good.
Yeah, we did a little bit on stage together, which was really nice. Must admit, I loved every single second of it. I had one of the most surreal moments, and I don't know, Ollie might watch this back. I got up during the quiz to go to the loo, and as I was walking out towards the toilets, this guy came up to me and was like, Sam, I don't know if you remember me, but you used to teach me. And I was like, yeah. And I took one look at him and I was like, oh my goodness, you're Ollie. And he was like, yes, I can't believe you remember. I used to teach him when he was in year 8. So he was 12 at that point.
Nice.
It made me feel very old, but it was so lovely to have a conversation with him.
Totally.
To catch up with so many people and so many people that I've met before that we see at regular FPL events, but also so many new people this time around that just came up and were like, let's have a chat. Really, really lovely evening. Fantastic to see so many nice people. So, of course, they made the announcement this time around that Fest is back again on the 5th
yes,
of August.
That's true. Get your tickets. Yeah. Are tickets available now, I think? Yes,
tickets are available now.
How do you get the tickets?
You can go on the Fest website and get tickets.
Fest Twitter, at FF_Fest.
Fest,
I think.
Yes. If you are available on the 5th of August, which hopefully is going to be the opening night of the season again, get yourself some tickets. Come along. Honestly, even if you come on your own and you know nobody, by the end of the night, you'll be friends with everybody.
That's
true.
Come. Yes.
We're always there at the very beginning.
And usually till the end.
And usually till the end, because we can't stop talking. As my
Harry won't stop talking. Harry wouldn't stop talking.
My little brother Harry.
What a legend.
We have to spend time catching up at the end of the night. That photo was just supposed to be you, me and Harry. We got photobombed by all sorts
got
of people.
Got photobombed by Mo and Praz. Yeah.
Everybody just suddenly appeared. But honestly, don't feel like, oh, I don't know anyone, I can't come.
Oh, Delia's in the live chat. Delia's in the live chat. She's joined. She said, I've joined just to see my picture on screen. How weird is that? So there you go. Yeah, wicked. Go. Lovely to see you, Delia.
Thank you also for the extra biscuits, Delia. Delia came up and gave us both a biscuit, and then she came back to find me later on in the night to give me a box of biscuits to bring home for the kids, which they've eaten all already. So
we have people giving us biscuits and Jaffa cakes all night. It was unreal.
I can't remember who it was, but somebody also came up to me and went, Sam, this is specially for you, and gave me a jammy dodger for all my jammy picks over the years.
Oh, so I remember the jammy dodgers.
I mean, I just got given biscuits. Oh, no, it was great. So, yeah, but please, if you want to come to Fest but feel a bit anxious about it, book a ticket, come along. The guys that are in the chat tonight will testify. You don't need to be worried about coming to Fest. It's such a friendly place.
Yeah, totally. And well done to Ed and Gianni and Mark for hosting Fest. Really, really good. Loved it, guys. Loved it. Let's get into the hello. Sam, let's say hello to a few people. John Tyner is here. Hey, John, how are you? Daniel Banks is in. Nice to see you, Daniel. And of course, Simon Cowell's Trousers is in.
Hi,
as usual, a member of the YouTube channel. And of course, guys, if you want to become a member of our YouTube channel, there is a little join button next to the subscribe button. If you want to join us over there, support the channel and the work that we do. We'd love you to come and join.
Has got to join Fest next time.
We'd like to see Si there, wouldn't we?
Well,
we'd love to see
either
Si,
that or right. I'd like to see Si dressed as Susan Boyle. It's,
what?
At Fest.
Quite possibly.
With a Susan
possibly.
Boyle mask on.
Yeah. One step too far, Sam. Okay. FPL Shorts is in. How are we doing, FPL Shorts? Jay Rich is here. Liam Healy. Hey, Liam. Hi, how are we doing? Nice to see you. Andrew Yee is here.
There he is.
In the live chat. There
he
is, Andrew.
Lovely to meet you, Andrew.
Lovely to meet you the other day, mate. Honestly, really was. And Duncan's in with a super chat. Honestly, an amazing night, he said. You guys are so welcoming and lovely. I'll be there again in August, 100%.
Yeah, with more Jaff Cakes.
And he says, come on, Robbo. At the end there, come on, Robbo. So obviously a Robertson owner there, Duncan. Listen, mate, lovely to meet you. Thank you for the Jaffa Cakes. We did well in the quiz, didn't we?
Came
third in the quiz. It was respectable. That was all right.
I mean, I know some random stuff, as Duncan and Andrew will testify.
Did you know that Elianusi was Norwegian?
No, I did not know that, but I did know that Under Armour make Trent Alexander's boots.
That was a good shout.
I also did know that Rudiger was the fastest player in the Premier League.
That blew me away, to be fair. Yeah, that blew me away.
And I also did know, what was the other one that I knew right at the beginning, and you all were like, what are you talking about? And I wrote in, Jarrod Bowen. I knew that Jarrod
Bowen
had the most fantasy assists.
Very good. Florian Sandu is here. Brian Springer, all the way from Trinidad and Tobago, is here. And I'll tell you what, Sam, there is somebody else in the chat, a certain Mr. Craig Bonfield, all the way from Philadelphia. Craig,
Hi, my
brother is in. Craig, love you to bits, mate. Have a wonderful time over in Philadelphia. He's over there. He must have done. He's in the live chat. He's got a little 3 or 4 weeker with work, isn't he, over there?
Setting up some,
I'm not going to go into what he does for a living, but he's got some stuff to do over there, and he's on a little 3-week adventure over in Philadelphia. So well done, mate, for getting that. I hope that goes well.
Adventure to Philadelphia.
Sounds wicked, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Sounds wicked.
Didn't offer to take me with him.
No, he didn't. No.
I mean, I have got my brother's wedding next week. I don't think I could have gone.
Yes, you'd be back for that, yeah. I suspect. Mark Biddle is in FPL A+. Harvey is in Asad Ali, Liron Baird, Rushil Joshi, and a whole... I feel like we've got a lot of people here tonight. How many people we got in here, Sam? Yeah, nearly 300 people. Guys, thank you for joining us here on FPL Family. Must have been a good week, Sam, in FPL. Must have been a good week. And we'll talk about...
Not a lot of free hits then.
...our teams later on. But where do you want to start with these fixtures? I've kind of... Looks like I've gone...
You've gone Man City already?
Well, I've gone automatically to Man City, but I'm okay with not starting there. You want to start there?
Well, we might as well. You're there.
Go on then. All right, what did you make of the game? Because for free hitters who went double defence and Sterling, of which many did, it was unlucky. But how do we feel now about Gabriel Jesus? Is this a... You know, have we missed the boat here? Or, given the kind of lack of options in that forward line in FPL, you know, which we've spoken about many a time... Is Jesus one to consider now? What are we saying?
Maybe. I mean, the difficulty is and you and I were just chatting about this before we came on. We've obviously got European football this week. So we kind of have to wait and see what Pep does midweek, who he plays. Yes. If Jesus doesn't get the start midweek, then I certainly think that we can go there. I mean, the City fixtures are so nice for the rest of the season. It's very difficult to see them losing any games, sorry.
Yeah, it pains me to say it, but I agree. I don't see where they drop points. I mean, listen, Newcastle in good form. West Ham, they've got to go to West Ham, haven't they, as well? West Ham have got their eyes on other things, right? And, well, I think Craig Dawson will be available by then, but still, they have got a bit of a defensive crisis and... As we will talk about, I guess, in a little bit more detail later on, both West Ham and Leicester have got their eyes on other things. You know, it's Leicester certainly with a very abject, pretty boring game, frankly. And from an Aston Villa perspective this weekend, we'll get to it in a bit. Stevie G, he stopped the rot in terms of the losses. They got the draw, which I guess is okay. But it was a pretty dire game. And part of that, I think, was down to the fact that Leicester got other things to play for. I put West Ham in that bracket now as well. So City's most difficult game... Left, I think, is West Ham away, but actually it probably isn't. And the other thing to say about Manchester City is they don't, of course, have any double game weeks. It's just four straight fixtures.
No.
Ah, go on. You're going to correct me.
There's one to be rearranged.
That is true. Against Wolves. Yes, that is true.
So that will go in 36 or 37, but we don't know where.
Ah, that's why I didn't see it. So we're not sure which game week it's in yet, but they are going to have a double at some stage.
Against Wolves.
Right. Okay, very good. So Manchester City assets then. You've got Cancelo.
Yes.
You've got... That's it, right? Just Cancelo?
That's it.
All right.
And I said on stage on Fest on Friday night, and I actually got a bit of a...
Did you?
It was probably tips, actually. because I said...
Why would it be Harry?
Because I said I don't trust the Chelsea assets and I might not go there because I'm more interested in the Man City assets because I trust them more.
Right.
Part of the reason I ended up... Well, I think the fear got me, to be honest, with Chelsea assets. Right. Because everyone was... I mean, the whole night
a lot
was,
of hype, right?
Yeah. The hype was definitely real. But more than that, you had I just had this real concern about the Pep roulette because they've got to win every game, but this was a game that they should have been able to win with the 21s, basically. You know, they could have played anyone. They should have won this game.
Yeah.
So they didn't need to necessarily risk their big, big names. Could there have been some more rotation than we'd seen, particularly given the Champions League is in the midweek? Maybe, and I was kind of a bit like, I don't really know who I would go to. Bernardo Silva is my kind of, let's go for a nice safe pick. Bit boring.
You wouldn't
safe.
Go for Silva right now,
no,
would you?
But even if you had, he didn't play. Foden was the next one that was available in my price point. He didn't play.
Yeah.
So you have all of these, like, it's the same always with City, isn't it? Buying in is really difficult unless you can afford to go for Kevin De Bruyne. And that's where I think the problem comes with City is that you look at the fixtures over the next 4 weeks, they're expensive. You want them to be able to start every game. And I'm not sure that anybody necessarily starts every single one of those games.
It's difficult, isn't it? And as Josh is saying, hey, Josh, FPL telling in the live chat and moderating, hey, Josh, ask Mark, I think Southern's, about City assets. Yeah. He's played two free hits this season. Both included, you know, plenty of Manchester City assets and he's dodged all the points, but listen, he won't be the only one. The only one. Plenty of people going for Sterling. Of course, many of us have got Cancelo as well.
Got one.
And do you know what? When the Watford goal went in, not only as a Liverpool fan was I a bit like, 2-1, maybe there's an outside chance something happens here. It was more hope than expectation, quite frankly. But I didn't really wince, really. You know, I got Cancelo, but, you know, I think many do, and it didn't really affect my rank. If he does well, great, and if he doesn't, he doesn't. If anything, the fact that, you know, a few people in and around me had double City defence, yeah, and the double City defence was popular on the free hit, actually, the Watford goal going in might have actually done me a bit of a favour, kind of where my rank was, quite honestly.
Yeah, probably. It's difficult with Man City, isn't it? It's no different to any other time of the season, though, to be honest, because it's always difficult. But I think with City right now, you look at them on the fixture ticker and you think, they look really highly investable right now. But...
Well, let's have a look at the fixture ticker then, because those, you're right, I think they do look... investable.
Bear in mind that there is another game for them to be added, so they will rise on the fixture ticker when that when that Wolves game gets rescheduled.
Yeah, well, you're absolutely right, because right now they are in the bottom third in terms of fixtures when sorted by difficulty, according to the Fantasy Football Scout website.
But everyone above them has a double or two.
And they've got Leeds, Newcastle, as I mentioned before, West Ham away, Villa. So those are the fixtures. But yeah, Wolves has got to go in there in either 36 or 37. Mm. And by the way, that will be a very nice looking double, regardless of where it goes.
Yeah, so... And the thing is that everybody that's sitting above them in the fixture ticker right now has got a double game week to come. That's why they're above them, because they've got an extra fixture. You add an extra fixture to City and you'll find them sit probably fourth, third even maybe, actually, on the fixture ticker. They'll go much, much higher than that. So it's just, I think you want to. You really do want to invest there, but it's working out how you do it. Because if you're going to do it, you also have to basically have a bench that's capable of covering it. And at this point in the season... A lot of people are moving money out of their benches into their first team. So just
a lot of bench boosts already been played.
Exactly.
Yes.
So just be a little bit mindful. And maybe Jesus is the way to go, because cheaper than most of the others that we're talking about, and fitting into that forward line, which hasn't been so important in terms of FPL this season. The midfield spots have been the important ones.
So let's say that double gets announced in 36 or 37. You play your free hit. Which City 3 do you go for?
Mm. Well, I think...
Right now, who would you go?
Assuming that they qualify in the Champions League, let's assume that they make it through, because by the time that double comes, that will have happened. So assuming they've made it through and they've qualified into the next round, then I think I would, on a free hit in that week, would take a risk and go with the attacking double up. So I'd have Cancelo, but I would probably look at Jesus, and then on a free hit, I'd go KDB.
All right. And I guess you've got to think and also keep an eye on what happens to Liverpool over the next couple of weeks.
Absolutely.
Because Liverpool's next couple of fixtures, I think off the top of my head, we go away to Newcastle, which, by the way, is a horrible game. It's a horrible game.
And lunchtime.
Not least because Newcastle are in cracking form, but it's in lunchtime. It's 12:30 Saturday, on the Saturday lunchtime after we've played the Champions League. I don't understand why we always get that particular time slot. But we also seem to have to travel. I remember having to go to Brighton earlier in the season, which again is a massive journey for Liverpool, the week after. And by the way, we went to the Amex and I think we won in the end. but Newcastle, absolutely banging form. And we've got to go away to St James's next Saturday. And then we've got Spurs coming to Anfield, which...
Yeah, but that's 8 o'clock on the Saturday after.
Yes, but never mind. My comment was going to be more about the fact that I think Spurs are set up perfectly to... suit that Liverpool system, our high line, Son in behind.
You've seen the no goals in 2 weeks.
Well, all right, this is a nice segue, right? That's enough about Manchester City. For sure, we're going to be investing in them. We will be talking about them this time next week, I think, because we'll know when that double is. Let's segue then to Brentford nil, Spurs nil, because a lot of us have got Kane, Son, Kulusevski. If you've got any of the fullbacks, you know, Royale, etc., maybe you've got Reguilón, who didn't start this game. Don't think he even came on.
No, he didn't.
What now for Spurs? Because here we are, a couple of games in from when we last spoke about them, and no shots on target at the weekend. No shots last week. And what's going on?
There was a lot of lethargy. I mean, last week I did put it down to being the 12:30 kickoff. It was very leggy, lethargic. The 12:30 were always terrible. But also I put it down to the fact that Conte hadn't been in training all week because of COVID and all of that malarkey. Yes, he was on the touchline, but there was all of that playing out. This week was different because, for me, anyway, going into that Brentford game, they had all the motivation that they needed. They'd had Arsenal win, so they weren't the
only game. Yeah, you'd expect a reaction, right? Yeah.
Absolutely. So what happened? I don't know. I think, again, and credit to Brentford, because... I thought much like I thought with Brighton, that Brentford were fantastic.
They did play very well, very well organised. Yes.
And look, let's talk about Spurs in a second for a minute, because Brentford dealt with everything that Spurs threw at us incredibly well. They were defensively secure. They were on their men. They knew, they all had a job to do, and every single one of them did it properly. But they weren't, unlike Brighton, who were defensively really solid but didn't have a lot in the way going forward, Brentford could have and probably should have won this game. They had plenty of opportunities going forward.
Yeah.
The likes of Tony and Eriksen in particular, I thought, had a phenomenal game, as I was expecting him to. So credit to Brentford, first of all. I thought they were fantastic, and they look highly investable from an FPL perspective right now.
Well, interestingly, in the top 10, Brian Mbeumo, sixth for XG underachievers, according to the Fantasy Football Scout members area. And if you're not a member of Fantasy Football Scout, it's not too late. You still can go and join, even at this late stage of the season. All the links in the description below if you want to become a Fantasy Football Scout member. And Brian Mbeumo, yes, sixth for XG underachievers. What does that mean in layman's terms? He had 0.48, by the way. That means probably should have had some FPL points in this game.
He, Tony, Eriksen, all three of them could have, should have, on another day, would have had FPL returns in that one. As a Christian Eriksen owner, I am delighted to keep him. I think he's looked on good form. Brentford could be one of these teams that go on the beach because they've not really got anything to play for.
Yeah.
They're safe. They can't make Europe, but they are playing down that. I mean, Thomas Frank has done a fantastic job there. And Eriksen, for me, is one of those players in particular that's got something massive to play for because his contract expires at the end of this season.
What a great moment as well, and I know you'll agree with me on this. What a great moment at the end when he's Christian Eriksen over to the Spurs fans.
You won't be surprised
to go and
know.
Sign shirts, etc. What a, this guy, man, honestly, I just love him to pieces.
You won't be surprised to know that Lee took the children upstairs to put them to bed. I was watching that and doing my interaction, and I cried watching that.
Mm.
Sat downstairs. I was crying.
He's going to be back at Spurs next year, isn't he, Christian
Eriksen?
I sat
downstairs and I watched him walk over to the Spurs fans and I just lost it. I was like, oh, I've gone again. Just talking about it. Honestly, because the guy, I mean, he died. And now he's playing professional football again.
He's unbelievable. And I think...
And he's a legend at Spurs. And
I think he's going to be back there, right? I think he's going to be back there.
I mean,
for sure. When you look at him, he's you know, what he's been through as well. He's obviously, not obviously, but... He's probably looking at the next club that he goes and plays for and he thinks, you know, I don't think... Listen, I'm not in the guy's head, right? But I can't believe that he would now make decisions, life decisions, based on money anymore. He's surely going to make life decisions based on emotion and where he feels comfortable and everything else. And that's clearly Tottenham Hotspur. It's clearly Tottenham Hotspur, right?
I think there was a lot of rhetoric about who's in for him. Apparently Brentford are interested in... Of course
they are.
They're interested in keeping him.
Even Tony.
Apparently Leicester won him. I mean, that's random. I can see why Leicester won him, but I can't see why he would go there. Like, I think you're right. I think that there's... He's not at a stage of his career where he wants to end. He wants to play good quality football in European competitions.
Yeah.
And maybe Spurs offer that.
Okay.
In a friendly environment that he knows and he trusts.
So you're
know
planning to keep him then in FPL. What about the Spurs assets then?
Well,
are we in a bit of a blip here, or have Spurs gone back to being a bit...
What?
Spursy.
How dare
it
you?
It has been a bit... You've got to admit, it's been a bit Spursy. Particularly in the Brentford game, it was not good.
It's not been a bit Spursy. It's been peak Spursy. This is peak Spurs. This is... Oh, let's get ourselves into the top four... Oh, let's beat Brighton and then we've got three points in hand. Oh, let's bottle it and lose that game.
Yeah.
Oh, let's bottle it again against Brentford and get a draw.
Well, let me give you a bit of context around Harry Kane, because there is a little bit of a narrative, and I've noticed Josh in the live chat talking about selling Harry Kane. I think he sold him this week, actually. It'd be interesting to know who you got, Josh.
Werner, probably.
A little bit of rhetoric around it, actually, is Harry Kane in the top 10. Again, he's in that same list as Mbeumo. He's eighth for XG underachievers this week, and I know some of you will like XG, some of you won't, but again, maybe a bit unlucky not to get the points. Harry Kane, is he a keep in FPL, or I assume he is for you? What would you advise the non-Spurs fans?
I mean, look,
if you're not Sam from FPL family, what would you do with Kane?
Well, look, everything you've just said makes a hell of a lot of sense, and actually I think I would even board the sale train. However, it's Leicester next. Leicester in the middle of their European exploits, because they're going to play European football on Thursday, and then it's Spurs. We all know, so the last two games between Leicester and Spurs have had 11 goals in them. They're mental. They're absolutely insane games.
And if the Leicester and Villa game taught us anything, it's exactly what I said before. Leicester...
They had five shots.
They had
63% possession and five shots.
I think it's as much as, and maybe I'm being too dramatic, tell me what you think, but I think Brendan Rodgers, I think his job depends on whether he wins this European trophy or not. Because, well, listen, they're nowhere in the league, are they?
No, they're nowhere in the league.
They're not going to probably not going to get European football through the league. Well, not probably. Almost certainly not.
Newcastle above them now.
You guys will tell me if I'm wrong. Are they in the bottom half, Leicester? They might be.
Well, I doubt if they're in the bottom half because I think they were ninth. But they might be now. I don't know.
Either way, no Europe through the league, I don't think.
So they need
to win this trophy to get back into it. And Rodgers needs European... That club needs European football. I think he's not there next year if he doesn't win this.
Oh, my life.
So, if you follow that rhetoric, they've got to go all out for that. And he's going to be resting players in the Premier League and they're not going to be showing up in the Premier League. For sure, I'm not selling Kane or Kulusevski ahead of that game.
I don't think you
not
can.
A chance.
I mean, particularly Kane loves to score against us. I don't think that you can sell. If the Spurs assets blank against Leicester, I think you're well within your rights to go, right, I'm done with you all.
It is a bit last, feels a bit last chance saloon. Yes, I agree.
Particularly because the double that they've got is quite difficult. It's very difficult. It's the North London derby, which Kane also does love to score in. And it's actually Liverpool, who also he does like to score against.
He does, to be fair, yeah.
But we have to be peak. So we have to be peak Spurs. Not peak Spurs. We have to be peak Spurs by then. Now, Leicester is the sort of game that I think could be the game that gets us back in the rhythm again. And that's what we need. We've come up against two really solid units of football who've really worked on how to get the best out of their squad against us. And they did it really well. Mm. Leicester, I don't think they're going to be capable of that after European football.
Not so much, maybe. I can see maybe me... You know, let's see how Kane versus Leicester goes. But if I need to free up some money for, say, a Kevin De Bruyne for a Man City double game week, I can see that coming from Harry Kane.
But you're not doing it before Leicester, I think, is the...
No, but I don't think City have got the double until 36 or 37, have they?
So that's right.
So you're not going to, for 35, sell Kane and get in KDB, I don't think. Maybe. But I can see as the City double gets closer, that's maybe where people use... That's where people will fund Kevin De Bruyne if that's the way they want to go.
Unless you're free hitting.
I can see it. Unless you're free hitting, of course, which is then an altogether different proposition. Where else do you want to go, Sam? What about this? Let's have a quick chat about Newcastle, because Newcastle will have some say in where the title goes. They've still got to play Manchester City and Liverpool. Bruno Guimarães back with another goal. I noticed that as free hitted this week, so didn't have Bruno Guimarães, which is a bit of a shame. The reason I wanted to bring this game up, and I don't want to talk about it for too long, but I need a bit of therapy after this because I had Shaw and I've got Wood in my fantasy team, neither of whom got any minutes at all, which is annoying to say the least, particularly when I look at the Joe Linton performance in this game. Pretty good. What Eddie Howe's doing with Joe Linton is to be admired, and what he's doing at Newcastle is to be admired. I noticed, actually, that if there was a league table from the day Eddie Howe was in charge of Newcastle, they'd be second. Liverpool first, Newcastle second. So he's doing an amazing job there, even getting performances from the likes of Joe Linton. And I'm now worried as a Chris Wood owner that maybe doesn't get his spot back because Joe Linton's done a really good job. So I'm thinking about, raging Chris Wood out of my team. I'm not quite so worried about Shah, let's say, because I think Shah probably comes back in. I don't know, but possibly doesn't. At 4.3, I'm not too worried about him. But Chris Wood taking up one of those forward slots, he's got to go. I'm just not sure where to go.
Joe Linton.
I don't think I'm going to be getting Joe Linton, but, you know,
I mean,
if
I
look at...
There are other options, though, aren't there? There is plenty of people available. Like, we've just spoken at length about Brentford. And, you know, even Tony's down there in that point. Brentford fixtures are quite nice.
Well, I'll tell you the move I was looking to make. The move that I had in my mind was Ollie Watkins, actually. Because if I look at the Aston Villa fixtures, it's Norwich, then it's two double game weeks, and then, of course, they've got City on the final day where... I'm sure that... Oh, we've just got a new subscriber. Thank you for subscribing to the channel. The technology works. Unbelievable. But what's going to happen in game week 38, by the way, is that Stevie G is going to win Liverpool the title and beat City at the Etihad. I don't know if you've built that narrative in your head already. I certainly have.
Yeah, I did build it. But it meant that Jacob Ramsey was going on a riot.
Right,
okay. I'm planning to own Jacob Ramsey for all these doubles. So Jacob Ramsey's writing. In case you haven't heard, Jacob Ramsey's going to get 200 FPL points in the next 4 weeks.
All right. Excellent. That's Sam Bonfield from FPL Family Guarantee. So that was going to be my... I was going to add Chris Wood to Watkins. I had a bit of money in the bank. I can do that.
Yeah.
But the way Villa are playing, I'm not convinced that that's the right move to make, to be honest with you. I'm really not. So how are we feeling about... I mean, Newcastle, yes. But I actually just want to talk about... more, to be honest with you, Aston Villa, because I don't want to talk too much about this game. We've already spoken about Leicester. But Villa, great fixtures coming up. Norwich, double-double, and then, of course, Man City on the final day. Whether you've got the free hit or not, and certainly if you haven't, the fixture ticker is saying, go and invest in these guys, but the form guide isn't, right?
No, and it's the same with Leicester. It's the same with West Ham that we've already mentioned briefly before.
These guys have got other things to think about.
Yeah, well not so much with Aston Villa, but I wonder with Aston Villa whether there's... They didn't have a lot of possession for a start. I think they had 38% possession or something in this game. So they didn't have a lot. They did have 11 shots on target. So way more than Leicester managed in double the possession that they had. So there was some attacking threat there from them. But they do seem to have lost the sparkle that they had.
The honeymoon period is over for Stevie G.
But they
no
have
doubt.
Stopped the rot this week. They were on a losing record. Yeah. They've stopped the
that
rot.
That is important.
And that is important.
But against the Leicester team that were there for the taking, I think. Leicester were not good.
They were, but we've seen all season that Villa can be... They're not clinical. They're not always clinical up top. We've seen that a lot with Watkins this season. We've seen it a bit with Danny Ings. We've seen it quite a lot with the midfielders as well. Even Coutinho and the likes of Buendia and Jacob Ramsey, they all fall into that. You know, when they're good, they're very good. But when they're having a slightly off day, and they all, sadly for Villa, they all seem to have their slightly off days at the same time.
Yes.
Which means then you get games like this where nobody's quite taking the game by the scruff of its neck.
And as FPL Short says, this is a nice comment, by the way. That game in game week 35 there is Gerrard versus Smith at Villa Park. Maybe there's a point to prove there. And Norwich themselves not playing too badly. And they got smashed by Newcastle at the weekend. But generally speaking,
but lots of
their form has been
by Newcastle.
Okay. Yeah, so for me, let's round off this bit of the conversation. I don't think I'm going to go into Villa. The form guide suggests that you can't.
I mean, I don't... Jacob Ramsey, I think, is fine. He's so cheap that if you want to go in on him because you've had enough with Anthony Gordon...
But Anthony Gordon was good today and they've got something to play for. They're fighting for their lives down there. I would not swap Anthony Gordon for Jacob Ramsey right now. Not a hope in hell. He's the only bright light in Everton right now, Anthony
Gordon.
That's
why you can't invest.
What are you talking about?
You can't... Why the hell do you want an Everton player right now?
Why do you want an Aston Villa player? They haven't won in 6 games.
No, but I think they've got doubles to come. So, if you look at the fixtures, they've got much nicer fixtures. Where do you see Everton picking up a point?
Look, they're double game week, Everton. If I remember rightly, yeah, Leicester and Watford in game week 36 looks great, both away, but looks great because Leicester are on the beach or at least on a European beach somewhere.
Unless they're out.
And Watford, that's a 6-pointer. Surely Lampard's looking at thinking we've got to get something out of that. And then they've got Brentford and Palace at home in 37.
Don't see them winning them, either of them.
What are you talking about?
No.
You would have Jacob Ramsey in that run over Anthony Gordon. You've not been watching Anthony Gordon, honestly.
I've watched plenty of Anthony Gordon. My point is...
He's good today. He caused us no end of trouble today.
I'm not saying he didn't. But my issue is that he's playing in a team where... I don't trust Everton. I don't trust Villa much either. But I think if you want to target the nicest fixtures for your very, very cheap... Look, we're basically talking about the really cheap enablers here.
Yeah.
So you... If you're going in at baseline bucket value players, then for me it's all about the fixtures.
Okay.
And I think Aston Villa have nicer fixture and they have better quality in that team than Everton do.
I think you're absolutely mad to go Ramsey over Gordon right now, but we'll leave that conversation there and we'll agree.
We'll find out in a few weeks' time who was right.
We'll agree to disagree. Let's talk about Anthony Gordon then and talk about Liverpool 2, Everton 0, because... Do you know what? I would, as a Liverpool fan, obviously I was frustrated at half time. You know, no doubt I was, you know, thinking, oh God, this, you know, they're ultra defensive. They're sitting back and not offering anything. And I was getting all emotional. And then after the game, obviously we won the game. I'm pleased about that. And I took my Liverpool hat off, which I rarely do. But I took my Liverpool hat off for a second and I said, actually, fair play to Everton. Because Frank Lampard did come out post-match and say, look, we ain't going toe-to-toe with Liverpool. We know that we can't. If we come here and try and play, we'll get beat. So what we'll try and do is we'll try and dig in, be difficult to play, and see if we can hit him on the break. And do you know what? Anthony Gordon should have had a penalty. No doubt about it. Should have had a penalty. The foul by Matip in the second half, even with my red goggles on, that's a penalty, right? And if that's a penalty and they score it, I think at the time it was 0-0 and they go 1-0 up, it's a different game. It's a different game. But in the end, as Liverpool did in their championship when we won the league a couple of seasons ago, we found a way to get it done. We just found a way. What was your view on the game?
Yeah, I mean, I think you nailed it. I didn't watch the second half, to be fair. I was too busy chatting weddings with my future sister-in-law and dying.
Do you want a drink? I've got some water here. I'll talk about the game just while you have a drink.
But I thought Liverpool... It's part of the reason why, you know, it's something we always say about doubles. Something we always say about derbies, isn't it? Is that you never really know what kind of game you're going to expect.
Yes.
Derbies can either be these amazing, explosive, fiery, and it was a bit of that, but fiery games where it's end-to-end, toe-to-toe. Everton made a conscious decision not to play that way today. They made a conscious decision to try and stop you.
Yes.
And then get you on the counter-attack if they could. But just try and stop you was the point. Normally, derbies, like, you won't get that again with Arsenal and Spurs. That's going to be go at it. So it was always going to be one or the other of those two things with Liverpool
today.
I thought...
Where's Divock Origi going to have his statue?
Oh, God.
The guy's absolutely unbelievable, honestly. And look, I'll talk FPL in a minute, but my view on the game was... We're so lucky to have a manager like Jurgen Klopp. I mean, I was about 10 minutes into the second half, I was sitting there going, this is a Divock Origi game. Because a lot of the crowd, a lot of Twitter was like, oh, Diaz needs to come on. And Diaz came on and he had an impact, no doubt about it. But Klopp went to 4-2-4 and he played four up front. And he just put Divock Origi in there and said, get in the box, give Michael Keane something to think about and just be a nuisance. There was no... Diaz and, Mane, Salah, all the other players... They exploit that space in behind perfectly. They're amazing for that. Done it for years. There was no space in behind in this game. Villa were parked on their goal line. Everton were parked on their goal line. So what do? You bring the big man on and you just put him in there with Jota and you just say, become a nuisance.
He immediately had
an impact. He was fantastic.
Divock Origi's wife does not love him as much as you do.
I think He's a cult hero at Liverpool, no doubt about it.
I don't think he's at Liverpool, Lee. I think it's you.
He's a cult hero.
You're his biggest fan.
Today he done the job and he seems to score. I don't think anybody other than Steven Gerrard has scored more goals for Liverpool against Everton than Divock Origi. Absolutely sensational.
Is that a genuine stat?
That is a stat, yeah, that's a stat. But from an FPL perspective...
You're not buying Divock Origi.
You're not buying Divock Origi, no you're not. What are we saying about Liverpool then from an FPL perspective? Because... Let's remind ourselves of the fixtures. I've already alluded to them slightly. They are not easy for Liverpool, but we've got to win them. They are must-win games. Going away to Newcastle on Saturday lunchtime after a Champions League, that does not scream a pace thing for me. I will almost certainly not be captaining a Liverpool player in that game in game week 35. Then in 36, it's a double, including that difficult-ish looking game at home to Spurs. Then it's Southampton. The way you're playing at the minute, I was more worried about that game 2 or 3 weeks ago than I am now, frankly. But I still think Spurs are set up, or the way that Spurs set up is there to beat Liverpool, right? Yeah. We have to be very disciplined. And if Trent, by the way, plays like he did today, probably the worst game I've seen Trent play in a Liverpool shirt today. Absolute howler. The way he went diving in on Anthony Gordon through the second half and got the yellow. What's he playing at? It was shocking.
All right, question for you then. As a double Liverpool defence owner.
Yeah.
What are your plans?
Yeah, I've got to keep him, I think. I've got to keep him. I don't see any reason to move on Trent. And because his EO is so high, I don't think you can necessarily lose him. Of the two, I probably, even though he's got me 15 points this week, Robbo is maybe the one you'd have a look at. But listen, the Newcastle game... might actually be better for attacking fullbacks than the Everton game, right? Because this game, they sit back, no space in behind. Trent, actually, the reason he had a difficult game was he didn't know whether to come or go. Mm. They're not used to playing against a team that are that defensive. By the way, I think they're going to come up against a team that play defensively as well as... Mm. But Trent always goes on the overlap with Salah. well, what's he overlapping into? It's not, because there wasn't an overlap to go on. So Trent didn't know where to come or go. Anthony Gordon was quick on the break, and Trent just got in no man's land too often. Robbo was a little bit more disciplined on his side, and rather than going, just kind of just didn't go until we went to the 4-2-4, and that clearly was Klopp saying, I want the overload, and Robbo got the overload at the back post because Divock Origi and Diogo Jota were, you know, causing so much havoc in the midfield, in the box. So with that Newcastle game and the Spurs game, and maybe even going away to Aston Villa and Saints, Saints played a bit of a high line, here are games where Liverpool's typical tactical setup, including the fullbacks bombing on, can benefit. You're not going to tell me we're going to Newcastle and Newcastle are not going to try and have a go. They're safe now.
I'm not.
They'll be going. They'll be going into that game thinking, "Cool, we'll put on a show. We're going to try and put on a show for the one of the best teams in the world coming to our place. We're going to try and beat them now."
Totally, I don't disagree with anything you've just said. I think the reason I asked the question is because I'm not sure how many clean sheets. I'm not sure how many.
Oh, goodness, what are you up to? Here we go. That's the right page.
I'm not sure how many clean sheets I see
in
the between now and the end of the season. Don't get me wrong, there'll be some.
We've only had a clean sheet once in the last, what, 9 games? 10 games?
Yeah, but I think... I've got to stop talking. It's making me really cough. I'm really struggling with the...
Your voice.
I'm really struggling with that. I'm really struggling with the fixtures, though, because I look at the fixtures that Liverpool have coming, and I think back to all these conversations that we've just had about the kind of more expensive players. You know, you're going to be wanting to be investing in the Manchester City midfield. If Kane bangs against Leicester next week,
yeah,
you're not going to want to sell him.
Probably not. No.
So where's the budget coming from the City midfielder that you really, really want? Now, for me, I don't have the double up with the Liverpool defence, but that if Kane doesn't score next week, then it's easy. But if he does, then I think one of those defenders would be my make way. Because there's plenty of defenders in the kind of 5 price range actually playing really well at the moment and offering attacking returns as well. So I think there are other options. I know you don't own the Liverpool double up because you want the clean sheet. That's just a nice to have because you're owning them because it's the attacking returns. And I'm
They're keeping the clean sheets as well at the moment.
They are.
I've had the 2 of them now for weeks and I don't regret it.
No, I don't think you would regret it. But what I think, you know, coming to this stage of the season where...
I think Robertson's just as likely to get attacking returns as James, Cancelo, these guys. He's just as likely, I think.
Yes, but I don't think you would go to one of them. If I was going to sell, I'd go lower in price and look at, you know, one of the cheaper options because...
So you'd sell if you needed some
to
money
for
midfield?
For the midfielders. Okay. Yeah, I'm not saying...
And you'd need that money because you'd keep Kane. So you're saying...
If Kane doesn't bang, it's a totally different conversation. I think you keep them both. But if for some reason, you know, Spurs do what I think they might do against Leicester and that's go rogue and go mental, then... the defenders would be where I would look to free up some money because the midfield spots and the City midfielder, I think it's going to be so important. And I don't have one of them. And you don't have one of them.
Yeah, true. But at the minute, as the guys are saying in the chat, you know, owning Liverpool feels very prestigious right now in terms of the defence. I agree. And, you know, for me, I think Florian's saying double Liverpool defence and enjoy life. Yeah, I've stuck the 2 of them in there. I think they're great. Robertson's offering amazing value right now and obviously top for BPS this game week amongst defenders with 42. No intent for me to sell, I don't think, ahead of Newcastle. I think got as much chance of scoring as anybody else, any other defender in the game.
I think you do it
right
this
now.
Week. I think it's ahead of when that Manchester City double gets announced.
Okay.
There's going to be some tough decisions to be made about how you invest if you're not free hitting.
Okay. All right. What about the other Liverpool assets just quickly then? Mane, nothing this week except a booking actually. And Salah with the assist again. Not a massive score for him. If you were captaining him this week, then I think you're okay at the minute because none of the other popular captains have really done anything. Of course,
Chelsea,
you've got the Chelsea boys still to go. But how are you feeling about the kind of Luis Diaz and Salah and all those boys? Jota maybe coming back into the four. There's still going to be rotation throughout the season, right?
Yeah, and particularly around the Champions League. You know, we've been saying it about Leicester. We've said it briefly about West Ham.
So whatever you've got, stick.
Man City. Don't sell. I think so. I think going into this week, you know, obviously there's Champions League football to happen, and so don't do anything until Liverpool have played in the Champions League.
Yeah.
Because we need to make sure everyone survives through injury, because there's going to have to be some big decisions for Klopp in terms of who he's playing where, because not everyone's going to be able to play 90 minutes twice a week.
For sure, though, when we get to the beginning of August, I will be keeping a very keen eye on Luis Diaz's price for next season. This guy is an unbelievable player,
yeah,
by the way.
I know. That's
and
why
he's
we
not
wanted
him. When he's got a full pre-season behind him and he's fully up to speed with, you know, it looks like he's fully up to speed already, but when Klopp's had a full pre-season with him, he is going to be dynamite next year, I think, as well. You see that when he took out of the air today, where he kind of like hopped in midair and caught it with his back foot.
You don't need to tell me how good he is. You poached him from our clutches.
You should have moved heaven and earth to get him.
We did. You stole him, you absolute
I wouldn't shout if I were you. I wouldn't shout if I were you.
Northern monkeys you are.
Where else do you want to go, Sam?
Poached our players.
What else do you want to talk about?
I don't really want to talk about anything else. I can't really speak, so you might speak for a bit.
All right, let me talk briefly then about Arsenal 3, Manchester United 1. What an interesting game, because a lot of the rhetoric... I saw a lot on Twitter about how bad Manchester United were, about how good Arsenal were. But goodness me, what a difference a moment makes, right? If Bruno Fernandes scores that penalty, and by the way, if you bought him in last week for Mo Salah, which a lot of people did, that's a hard one to take, because what is that, a minus one, maybe even a minus two this week? Because I think he got booked as well, which I think was reviewed.
He's lucky not to be sent off.
Possibly reviewed for a red card as well, Bruno, but got away with the yellow.
I think that was intent.
Difficult one to take if you got Bruno in a couple of weeks ago. But if he scores that penalty, it's different, because it's 2-2. Maybe the result is different. But actually, I thought Arsenal played pretty well, took their chances. What a goal from Granit Xhaka. And I kept Saka mainly because if Lacazette doesn't get a lot of game time between now and the end of the season, which we are not expecting, given these comments about... to be honest with you, I think Lacazette is already in Lyon. I think he's already... His head's already turned. I think he's already thinking about getting on that flight back to France for next season. Then Saka looks to be the key penalty taker. And if you've got the Arsenal penalty taker, here's a club that have got something to fight for between now and the end of the season, which is clearly something we always look for about now in FPL. The fixtures, let's have a look at those just while we're here. The fixtures for Arsenal read like this. West Ham, who of course have got their own eyes on Europe, as we said before. Then it's Leeds and Spurs, that massive game at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. Newcastle away, difficult game. Everton at home. Right slap bang in the middle of the fixture difficulty ticker, including that double in game week 36. I've got no real mind to sell Saka. I've got a bit more of a problem with their goalkeeper. I reeled out this rhetoric a bit earlier in the season about how I don't rate Ramsdale, and I think that's starting to come to the fore now. What he was doing for the Ronaldo goal, I don't know. I wasn't really picked up on Twitter or on Match of the Day or anything, but he kind of comes and then doesn't. He's very indecisive, and Ronaldo just kind of tucks it away. Didn't think that was good goalkeeping at all. And actually, up until that point in the game, I thought he was making some very iffy decisions. Mm. And he did get some save points in this game, but therein lies one of the flaws of the save points system in FPL, because some of the saves were like, what are you doing, mate? You can just catch that. Or you just see it out. He's making saves for making saves' sake, which in FPL we like, right? It gets us points, so it's fine. But I don't rate him as a goalkeeper. This is well documented, right? And actually, I'm a bit concerned going into this run that I don't see a lot of clean sheets for Arsenal between now and the end of the season. I'm not saying that's all down to Ramsdale. But it feels like a bit of a luxury transfer to move him on. Do you feel the same way about Ramsdale and Saka as well?
Well, yeah, I do, but I've got Dubravka. So, like this week, I just didn't play Ramsdale and I played Dubravka instead, which went...
If you've got a good alternative, well, it really helps, yeah.
So I'm not as concerned, I think, as you are. Although I am a little bit more concerned going into next week, because obviously I don't really want to play Dubravka against Liverpool.
Yeah, and Dubravka's got City as well coming up, right?
And he's got City as well coming up. So Dubravka was the one that was going to be sold at this point, downgraded to Foster. And then, so I do have some slight issues with my goalkeepers right now, and I do need to like revisit what I'm doing with them. Because I do agree with you, I think Ramsdale hasn't looked very good for a number of weeks now. Saka was actually on my hit list. He was still on my hit list on Friday night. And there were a couple of reasons why he skirted it. And I remember saying to you, and in the conversation I was having with somebody else that first started, it might have been Duncan and Andrew, I said, if you just stop watching the Arsenal game against Manchester United, against Chelsea at 80 minutes on Wednesday evening, whenever it was, I think you'd have been quite happy to sell Saka.
Mm.
The penalty makes you go, should I do that? Because he's on penalties, positive. He scored, he's had the confidence to get up there and take it, positive.
Didn't see him in many free hits, though, for this game week.
No. But then going into this weekend, he was one that was, again, it was on my list of, what should I do? Because Manchester United have been poor. There is no denying that. However, I did think that they might put up some sort of fight.
They were better. You've got to admit, they were better. I mean, all relative. I mean, against Liverpool, they were dreadful. But they were better, I thought. Particularly at the beginning of that second half.
They did have a period at the beginning of the second half where they were better, yeah. But
enough to invest in FPL, though.
No, not for me either. But I was looking at that thinking, you know, maybe Manchester United make Saka's life a bit difficult. Saka and Arsenal haven't exactly been great without Tierney and Partey. So I was kind of still on the fence with Saka.
We should say at this point that Saka did go off injured, right?
Saka... And then we hear, Saka's... After the deadline passes, we hear from Arteta that actually he was carrying a bit of an injury into the game. Really wanted to play, but then he couldn't finish the game. He went off on, what was it, about 70 minutes or something like that, with a thigh injury. And we haven't really had an update apart from when Arteta said, he was carrying it already before this game. So it's definitely something we're going to have to keep an eye on this week, because if Saka's not available for the next week, then I think he does become a sell, particularly for me, because I'm downgrading my bench at the moment, so I don't really want many people to come off my bench.
Yeah, he's still a hold for me. If he's injured...
If Arteta rules him out...
Yeah, if he's injured for a few weeks, then, yeah, I'll think about it, right? But at the moment, I've got no real intent to sell him. I think he still offers good value.
Fear, you keep.
Yeah, and he was second amongst midfielders this game week with 38 BPS. Only Ward-Prowse got better than that.
Yeah, it's because he was on one today.
And Ward-Prowse scoring another free kick, by the
brace,
way.
That's, he got brace,
I think, day. That's 9 for the season for Ward-Prowse, by the way. Not all free kicks, by the way, but still 9 goals for the season, which is a pretty solid return, right?
Yeah,
but Saka, no, I'm keen to keep, I think, at the moment. Are there any other Arsenal assets that we need to discuss? I think it's Saka and Ramsdale, the two. What about Eddie Nketiah up top, cheap as chips, is he one you can chuck in and hope for the best?
I mean, that's the other thing you could do. You know, you were talking about wanting out of Hwang earlier and wanting out of... Who else did you got up top?
Well, I've got Chris Wood, haven't I?
Oh, yeah. So, you know, you want out of them two, then, you know, Eddie Nketiah does look like he's going to be getting game time. So, could be a nice cheap option, particularly if you just want somebody on your bench that you can play every now and then.
Yeah. I would have less of an issue selling, you know, Chris Wood for Nketiah than I would downgrading Robertson to a cheap defender, as you suggested before. If I need a couple of million options to get into that City midfield, as you suggested, then that's how I think I would do it. I would sacrifice Chris Wood rather than sacrifice Robbo. I mean, that seems like a no-brainer.
I mean, everyone would sacrifice Chris Wood instead of Robbo.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. So listen, plenty of talking points from this weekend. And of course, two games still to go. Crystal Palace versus Leeds tomorrow night on Monday. And then United versus Chelsea on Thursday. How do you see that one going, just briefly? United versus Chelsea. Difficult to call that now.
Because Chelsea...
defensively, don't look too amazing, Chelsea, despite the win today.
I mean, I'll say it now, I'm home and not still with my parents, but I don't think Chelsea looked very good at all today in the bit that I saw. I was at a party with Evie for the first half, so I missed the first half or a lot of it. The second half, I thought they looked awful.
It was a dire game, by the way.
It wasn't very good.
Dreadful.
I mean, it wasn't going to be, was it? West Ham benched most of their key players. Chelsea were without some of their key players. It just wasn't great. I thought a bit lucky towards the end of the game to get that win, actually. But anyway, I think this game on Thursday is really quite difficult to call, because which Manchester United side are turning up? Mm. Which Chelsea side are turning up? Are my players even going to play? Who on earth knows?
So many question marks, Sam, and I would suggest that you take a breath, because your voice is
rapidly disappearing.
Well, that's because you're talking a lot.
It's because we're live streaming.
Would you like me to talk about my team first, rather than your team, so that you can have a drink of water? My team is doing all right this week. So I've got 62 points right now, which is a rank change of 15.76%. I'm up to 140k. It ain't bad. Saka got the week off to a winning start with his 13, but of course now got the orange flag, so I need to have a look at, you know, what I might do with him going forward. I've got Mount captain. I went for Mount over Salah, which at the moment is looking okay. So let's wait and see what Mason Mount does against Manchester United during the week. I have to say, unless Chelsea buck up their ideas and play better than they did today, that even against an out-of-sorts Manchester United, that's going to be a difficult game for them. And elsewhere, obviously, the big one at the back was the double Liverpool defence. Not much on Trent. I mean, he got the book in and got the five, so fine. But it's a Robertson 15-pointer that's really come to the fore. And of course, Shah not playing. I've had a bit of a touch with Roberts coming off my bench for six. And with Wood not playing, then, all right, Hwang comes in for a two-pointer, which was to be expected, quite frankly. So I've got eight coming off the bench for a net of 62 right now. So that includes my eight that's coming off the bench because I know that they're coming off the bench. I'd expect that to take a little bit of a hit as we finalise the game week because I don't have any Palace. I don't have any Leeds. So I'll have a bit of a hit there. And then I've only really got Mason Mount captain on Thursday. So there are some, I know there's some Ronaldos out there. There's some Havertz captains. There's some Reece James I'm expecting to play. Alonso, who got another double-digit haul today, got the 10 points, didn't he, with that assist today. So I know I'm going to take a little bit of a hit. But as it stands right now, I'm okay with it. 62 points and up to 140k from about 165. So trying to chip away, trying to do some slightly, not massively risky things, but just some sort of semi-educated risks to get myself up into that 100, top 100k. And I've taken a little bit out of a chunk out of it this week. So not bad. But Robbo's the main man. 15 points with the goal and the clean sheet. He is my MVP for this week. Absolutely sensational stuff from Andy Robertson. And that is why I'm struggling to sell him because he's offering such good value. Really, really good value. Here's your team. Would you like me to talk through it or are you happy to talk through your voice is disappearing?
No, it's fine. I took a minus four this week.
Yes. What was your transfers?
I did Harvey Barnes. I just had enough.
Yes.
To Mason Mount. And then I did Weghorst because I needed the money.
He gets assisted, doesn't he?
Yeah, but I just hate owning Weghorst.
Okay, no problem.
So, and I needed the money and I was happy to sacrifice Weghorst more than anybody else.
Yeah,
so
you won't be alone in that.
No. So yes, he got an assist today, but I'm not that worried. I've got Mateta instead. Could have gone Nketiah. That was the decision, actually.
Okay, yeah.
But in the end, I was like, quite fancy Mateta.
Bit unlucky Nketiah owners. Another bit of misfortune,
yeah.
I would say, for the free hit was actually that... when Saka scored the penalty, the lead up to that, Saka was fouled, but after it was fouled, the ball fell to Nketiah and he put it in, right? And he was onside, according to the VAR, but the VAR pulled it back for the foul on Saka,
no,
I think.
No, he was offside.
Was he offside?
Which is why they gave the penalty.
Fine, okay, so they actually gave the penalty. So again, if you free hit this week, there's a reasonable chance you've got Eddie Nketiah.
Mm.
Again, a bit unlucky for the free hitters, no doubt.
Yeah, I mean, the Dubravka clean sheet is nice. Trent, fine. Cancelo, meh. Everyone's got him, so it doesn't matter.
Sure.
Reece James is really annoying because the...
Seen that on Twitter. A lot of people getting upset with this
I'm
guy,
really
right?
annoyed because, yeah. You know, I'm not...
You'd be happy if he doesn't play, though. Tarko's going to come on with a seven.
Yeah, I'm fine with it if he doesn't play. But I'm more annoyed that we didn't know about it going into the game week. Because had I known that he was... Oh, hello.
Another new subscriber, thank you. Had I known
that he wasn't going to be fit and available for the first game, I would have downgraded him to Alonso, which would have given me the money to take Mount up, and I could have left Weghorst there.
Mm.
So it would have changed the way that I'd structured my team.
Oh, so had you known, you'd have gone Alonso and kept Weghorst, potentially.
Which would have then... That's what I would have done. So if I'd have known Reece James, because Reece James is one that I've looked at and gone, shall I sell him to downgrade... If I downgrade him to Alonso, I can afford to do Mount... And then I would have had, a nice double digit haul from Alonso with another game to play. I'd have had the Weghorst assist. But that's what it is. That's why I'm annoyed. I'm annoyed that Tuchel doesn't say, oh, he got injured in training. I get why they don't, though. It's fine. The rest of them, it's fine. I'm hopefully Tarkowski's going to come off the bench either if Mateta doesn't play. Or if Reece James doesn't play, but I suspect that they both will. Unless, I mean, we'll find out, I guess, won't we? Because Chelsea, no Champions League for them anymore.
No.
We'll just have to wait for press conferences for Tuchel and see what he says. But it's a minor ed. I think if Mateta does anything tomorrow...
Очень страшно. Мы не знаем, что это такое.
Если бы мы знали, что это такое, мы бы...
Into the last game of the game week. Or I'll have Tarkowski off the bench, which again... should be enough to give a green arrow.
That's a bit of a win-win, isn't it? If James plays against United, I think you'd want him to play.
Well, it depends. I don't want him playing at centre-back.
Well, that's very true. That's very true. And he could, I suppose. And then if he doesn't play, then Tarkowski comes on with a seven anyway. So you take it. But listen, 45 points, a net 41 right now. You've got, as you said, Mateta, who's a great differential for you, to come in tomorrow night against Leeds. So all eyes on him and how he gets on at home. against against Leeds United. Total of 2128, 242k. Any thoughts, kind of early thoughts on transfers for next week? Which sort of teams are you targeting?
Well, I was actually sort of hoping to roll.
Right, so it's, okay.
Because I don't want to use my free hit in 36, but I would...
Do you want to use it in 37 or 38? Because you've spoken a little bit about using it in 38. It's a bit of a last hurrah.
I am keen on the 38.
Okay, all right.
But a lot of it's going to depend on where that City game goes, to be honest. Sure. So, and obviously, a lot of it's also going to depend on injuries, so... Saka is going to be a key thing. If he's out, then that's a decision to be made. Same, similar with James, actually. If James isn't available, then I might be tempted to shift him on because Chelsea aren't looking good defensively. Mm. And he might be one...
Miss Rudiger, don't they?
He might be one I could you know, move away from. So, and maybe if none of that happens, maybe a keeper change. So... Mm. Those are my early thoughts, but a lot of it's going to be on waiting on injury news.
Yeah, in terms of chip strategy, I think I'm with you. I'm waiting to see where that City double goes. I've only got Cancelo. I don't particularly like going in on the Pep roulette as a rule, but if City have got a double somewhere and I'm only on Cancelo, I don't want to be taking multiple hits for them and others. I'm going to be free hitting, I think, in that week, whenever that double rolls around.
Difficulty with free hitting 36. It says I've a lot of players in my team that already double in 36.
Sure.
And that could be one of those weeks where you free hit for less points than your team gets.
And you end up taking, yeah, some players out like a Saka, well, you take, like some of the others that we've seen this week.
You take Spurs out, wouldn't you? You take well, Spurs possibly. Out for Arsenal and Liverpool. And do you... that could be tough. Could so be. I'm not keen on the free hit 36. I would prefer the City game to go in 37 than I'd free hit there. But hey, that's going to be... in BT and Sky's hands, depending upon who owns that the right to that game, I suspect.
Yes, all eyes on the press conferences, etc., to find out when those games are going to be scheduled. In terms of coming up this week, so you've got the FPL show and you've got the podcast this week. So hoping that by the time Thursday rolls around, your voice is going to be in better shape. I don't think I'm doing anything this week, so I've got a week off to have a look and see what I do for game week 35.
You might be doing both of these things if I can't speak.
If you've lost your voice, then I might be signing in for you for the podcast and for the show. Let's see. But right now...
I'll be all right.
That is what we're planning. For someone that's going to be doing content for FPL for most of the week, including a lot of stuff with Fantasy Football Scout and with Az, you need to get your voice back. So let's get you off of this live stream. Let's get you a cup of tea. And let's get you, get that voice rested. Guys, thank you very much for joining us here on FPL Family this evening. As we said at the beginning of the stream, thank you to everybody that we saw and met and spoke to and that gave us biscuits at FPL Fest on Friday. It was a brilliant, brilliant event. And certainly, for me, just underlined how great the community is when it all comes together. That moment when Jeffrey got up on the mic and was talking about his story and why he's there and why FPL is important to him, why the community is important to him, that just... that nailed it, right? That was the moment. I absolutely loved it. So, guys, leave us a like, hit that subscribe button, all the usual like and subscribe nonsense. Good luck if you've got Mateta, if you've got Rafinha maybe in tomorrow's fixture. And, of course, if you're on Mount Captain, Havertz Captain, maybe you've Captain Ronaldo or somebody from Manchester United, good luck on Thursday. And Sam and I will be back this time next Sunday.
No, we will not.
We will not be back this time next Sunday at 8:30 because we will be mid-wedding. But there's a pretty good chance we will do a live stream on Monday night, Bank Holiday Monday. If in the UK, it is a bank holiday. So we won't be here next Sunday at 8:30. But I will let you know, we'll let you know, Twitter, Instagram, all the rest of it, when we will be live on Monday night. Probably at the same sort of time, but we shall see how things go. Guys, good luck in the remaining two games. We'll see you next week. Cheers.